It's now time for the all-new Consumer's Eye, a show that focuses on vital issues concerning the community. If you have any questions about today's topic, call us at 773-488-9552. And now, here are your hosts, Derek McNeil and Charles Young, with the all-new Consumer's Eye on WKKC 89.3 FM.
And I'm Charles Young.
Right here on WKKC, bringing you an exciting show full of information, full of facts and figures. This morning we're going to be talking about the high school financial planning program. Our guest is going to be Miss Melanie Murphy, who happens to serve as the manager of the Illinois Credit Union League. Let me start that all over again. Good morning. This is Derek McNeil. We're going to be talking this morning about the high school financial planning program. Our guest is going to be Miss Melanie Murphy, who is the manager of member services with the Illinois Credit Union League, who happens to be one of the coordinators of the high school financial planning program. So this is going to kind of be one of our themes in the upcoming weeks and shows and so forth. We're going to be focusing on youth and youth in business, youth learning more about personal finance, money management, and so forth. So each and every Saturday morning we bring you an exciting show full of information that you can use. So if you know high school students, young people, have them to tune in to us, your grandchildren and your nieces and nephews, because this is very valuable information, because financial planning starts at an early age. And one of the reasons why our wealth has been so dissipated is because so many people did not begin to save until 40. You know, we run a commercial here on WKKC, a PSA from the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants about Feed the Pig and how we have a lower negative savings rate now than since the Great Depression. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Let me welcome our guest. Good morning, Miss Melanie Murphy.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, if you would please begin by sharing with us a little bit about the high school financial planning program.
Sure. The high school financial planning program is a curriculum that is put together by the National Endowment for Financial Education, shortened to NEFE, N-E-F-E, and they put this together about 30 years ago. So it's been in schools, in high schools across the country for about 30 years. And it's a free program available to teachers that they can teach 7 different units on money management and career planning. And it gives students the basic information that they would need to start saving money and planning so that they can save money in the future.
Yes. So now, is this high school financial planning program, is this considered consumer education?
Yes, it is. It's consumer education,
okay,
and financial literacy education.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but we had a law that was passed in 1977 that required the teaching of consumer education in high schools. Do you know if that statute is still on the Illinois books and records?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's what I thought. That was passed and authored by Cecil Partee, who happened to serve as the 20th Ward Committeeman, also served as the president of the Illinois State Senate. And I knew Mr. Partee very well because he was my Ward Committeeman. But in any event, it seems that consumer education, if it is being taught, there seems to be more ripoffs now than ever with various banking products and other products that people just don't seem to understand. So tell us a little bit about the curriculum of the high school financial planning program.
Well, the The High School Financial Planning Program will give you the basic information that you need when you're starting out and when you're getting these type of accounts set up. It starts with creating a financial plan, which is teaching people how to budget. And then it gives you information about setting SMART goals, which are attainable and measurable. You can't just say, oh, I want something. You have to then have a plan for how you want to get it.
Interesting.
So that's a SMART goal.
Ah.
Then when you have your SMART goals, you can make a budget so you can make the most of your money. And what we recommend is that people track what they spend right now, because they don't usually realize where they're spending their money. Because there's a lot of, you know, a couple dollars for this, a few cents for that. And all those little expenditures add up.
Hmm.
And you suddenly are spending $20, $30, $50, $100 out of your money every week, and you didn't realize on all these little things.
Yeah. Well, I guess, forgive me for interrupting, I guess that's why these banks have all of these fees and stuff that they hit people with. $33 over limit fee, so-called free checking that's really not so free, et cetera, et cetera. So we have numerous fees that consumers are hit with that they may not be as familiar with as they probably ought to be. You have a document here that I was provided by you from NEFE, the National Endowment for Financial Education, which gives a startling statistic. Americans under age 25 are filing for bankruptcy faster than any other age group. That's a citation from Press and Sun Bulletin,
yes.
America's Most Wanted Are Free Spending Teens, 2006. So now, what they're implying here is that young people are filing bankruptcy in pretty grave numbers. And a lot of that is due to debts that they've gotten into with regards to credit cards and student loans and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So now, in high school, do you feel that if students were better educated with regards to their financial goals and budgeting and the stuff that you mentioned earlier, do you feel that that would change?
I think it would definitely help. One of the things that poses a challenge these days is so much of our banking and consumer transactions are electronic. So money comes out of our accounts very quickly. There's no float, as we used to have on a check, where you would write a check and, you know, it would take a week before the money would be out of your account.
Right, known as the Check 21 plan,
exactly.
Where they will take your money very expeditiously, but yet they won't clear your money. That's my problem with this. Here you're gonna take my money and say, if I write a check, funds need to be available, but
right.
Yet banks have extreme holds and don't go in with a little bit of money, $5,000, $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
They want to put holds on your money 5 to 7 days.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you're familiar with all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
being the manager.
It's a trap. And the other trap that you can get in is with credit cards, where you're allowed to go over your spending limit. If you have a credit card with a limit of, say, $1,000,
okay.
If you use that card, if you have spent more than $1,000, it doesn't stop you. You just get a fee for going over that amount. So it's kind of misleading. There's no way of telling you that, oops, you're over your limit. Some of the financial institutions out there can take advantage of consumers because those type of fees are very high. And then your interest rates are high, and that oftentimes when they raise your interest rates is when you go over your limit.
Yes, good point. Very good point, in fact, with regards to credit cards. Let me ask you, back to the high school financial planning program, how does a school or an individual student that would like to avail themselves to further information, how do we get such information?
Well, there's a website. It's SFPP. Is High School Financial Planning Program .NEFE.org. If you go to that website,
give that website once again, if you would please, a little
sure.
slower.
H sfpp.nese.org. And once you get to that website, there are three sections. The first is for students, the second is for parents, and the third is for instructors. So students can access all of the materials online. They can see all the lesson plans and get the activities. You can print them out or you can just read them online. There are other information for parents so that they know what the students are doing. And then there's a section for the instructors, which can give you the teacher's guide and all the supplementary materials that the teachers might use when using the program.
Mm-hmm. Now, with regards to this high school financial planning program, one of the things I like about it in reviewing the material, it's kind of in layman's terms, so it's explained very clearly. So would it also be available to, like, church groups, block clubs,
yes,
community centers?
Yes. We encourage anyone who wants to teach the program to young people or even young adults. It doesn't have to be someone who's in high school. Anyone who wants to can take advantage of the program. The materials are free, and you just order them from that website. If you're an instructor and you work for a nonprofit, you work for a church, you have a block club that you're involved with, you can order the materials. They're all free. They give you the information on how to teach the program, and there's guides for each student.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so now, since we have joining us this morning, Ms. Melanie Murphy, who is with the Illinois Credit Union League, serving as the manager of member services, what I'd like to ask you now is some questions about credit unions, because many of our consumers are unaware of the great benefits that are available to them through credit unions. So let me begin by asking you, just what is a credit union?
A credit union is a financial cooperative, and it's much like a bank in that it offers financial products and services. The biggest difference between a credit union and a bank is that it's member-owned. Therefore, once you become a member of a credit union, you're a part owner. You're an investor in that institution. So instead of having profits go to shareholders and to the big bank executives, any type of profit that the credit union would make goes back into your pocket because you're a member owner of that institution. You're going to see better rates on savings and better rates on loans, fewer fees and less fees.
Okay. How about your ability to get a loan? Joining and being a member of the credit union, will that allow you to access various lending opportunities that may not be available to you in the commercial banking industry?
Usually you'll find that credit unions are much more cooperative to work with people. They want to help consumers. They want you to have a loan and establish good credit history. If you have terrible credit, it's the kind of thing that they have scores and things that they have to, guidelines that they have to adhere to. But there's often programs that they can work with you so that you can build your credit for the future.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that credit unions are generally member-owned and driven.
Yes.
How can a consumer join a credit union? And I take it that different credit unions may have differing criteria for such membership.
Yes.
Okay.
In order to join a credit union, you must fit in what's called their field of membership, and that defines who they can serve. In some cases, it's defined by the employees of a particular company. For example, Motorola. The Motorola Employees Credit Union can only serve the employees of Motorola Company.
Okay.
There are other credit unions that usually have the word community in their name that indicates that they can serve people who live in a particular geographic region. Sometimes it's defined by particular street. Sometimes it's by zip code. Sometimes it's by an entire county. One example is Southside Community Federal Credit Union. That serves a large portion of the city of Chicago in the south area.
Yes.
I think it's from the lake I don't know quite how far they go, but they do have a big chunk of the south side, so they can serve people who live or work within that area.
Okay.
And then there are other credit unions that serve people who are, for example, a church credit union, so members of the congregation can be members of that credit union. So you can't join every single credit union, but there usually is a credit union that you can join.
Now, as a prospective member of a credit union, how do I determine the financial stability of the credit union prior to me joining?
There is a regulator called the National Credit Union Administration that governs most of the credit unions in the state, because they either have federal insurance or they have a federal charter. The state also regulates the state chartered credit union, but ncua.gov, that's where you can go and look up all the different credit unions that are in the state and find out what kind of financial situation they're in. But you can be pretty sure that they're going to be in good financial situation because they are insured by the U.S. government.
Yes, very good, because that's one of the areas that we focus a lot on the consumer's eye, are the regulators of various entities, banking, credit unions, etc. You're listening to WKKC 89.3 FM. This is the Consumer's Eye Show. This morning we're talking with Ms. Melanie Murphy of the Illinois Credit Union League, Manager of Member Services. We're talking at this point about the credit union and how to join and what is a credit union. And we've talked a little bit about the regulators, and that's very, very important with regard to any entity that you're doing business with in banking and with your money and so forth. And that leads me to one of my other questions. We're a member of a credit union. We have some discrepancies in our account and so forth. What are some suggested techniques that you guys provide with regards to making a complaint and resolving such complaint?
Well, the first thing I would do is talk to the manager of the credit union and see if you can explain the situation and work everything out. If that doesn't seem to be working, you can contact the regulating body, which is either through the Department of Financial Institutions in the state of Illinois or the National Credit Union Administration on the federal level, the NCUA.
Yes. Very good. That's some excellent information that you have provided us. Now, once again, back to the high school financial planning program. I would like for you to provide that website once again, and if you do have a contact telephone number for our listeners that would like to get further information about the high school financial planning program.
Sure. The website is HSF, as in Frank, PP dot NEFE dot ORG, and a phone number for the National Endowment for Financial Education. They're located in Greenwood Village, Colorado. They're at 303-224-3511.
Give that number once again, please.
303-224-3511.
Melanie Murphy with the Illinois Credit Union League. I would like to thank you so much for joining us this morning, providing some wonderful information. I'd like to have you back and for an entire show just to talk about credit unions and how they're regulated and how to review the material and how to join and so forth.
That would be wonderful.
Okay, thank you very much for your time this morning.
You're welcome.
You're listening to The Consumer's Eye, some great information about the high school financial planning program. So for young people, you know, this consumer education is very valuable, and we need to really embrace this consumer education. Financial planning, contracts. We need to learn more about real estate, landlord-tenant issues. Oh, boy, and we really need to learn more about utility bills and how these utility bills can screw up our credit. And, Charles and listeners, I've had many young people come to me who have had their credit ruined because their parents had their utilities in their name. And so you looked up, you were 17, 18, And your credit was already destroyed. And you know what's insulting nowadays is that many of these jobs want to run credit reports on you prior to hiring you, and they will look to entries like that.
Right. You know, Derek, I'm glad that you brought Melanie on, because it's really critical that the young people, and also young adults who are out of school as well, start to focus on some of these financial planning resources that are available, because many times they don't get these type of things in the school setting or at home. No one's really training them on how to plan their finances. And as she alluded to earlier in the show, you know, you start to spend, and if you're not really tracking your finances, you know, whatever your pay period is, weekly, monthly, or whatever, you've basically spent everything and then on these overdrafts, as you indicated. Some right. banks are charging $33 and more.
Right. Well, let me cut through a lot of the bull here. First thing is that most people don't have any finances to plan.
Okay.
Because after they have paid rent, their whole check is gone to pay rent. So that's one of the enormous items that are occurring in your budget, and not many people are addressing this. Charles, about 80% of all Americans now are allocating more than 50% of their income towards the payment of either their rent or mortgage. And as we are aware, that shouldn't be any more than 28% of your income allocated for housing expense, either rent or mortgage payment. So now, if we're paying more than 50% of our money on rent, and then we begin to evaluate that most people now have separate heating and so forth, our gas bill is going to take away more than likely our other 50% plus.
And that's true. And then you have to look at transportation mode to and from work. You know, if you're riding public transportation,
yeah.
it's basically, if you're doing just a straight trip, it's $4 per day. We're looking at going to the gas pump these days. It's more than $4 a gallon. So, you know, you can't have to balance these things out. And as you indicated, the rent's already high. You're looking at the gas bills when the weather is colder. Come summertime, your electric bill starts to go up. So, you know, as you indicated, most people don't really have that those resources to make that financial planning. But there is a need to start somewhere.
So technically, what we're saying here is that a job can be a negative. And that's very unfortunate, because everything is rising but your income. So if your wages and income is not rising, that kind of leaves us in a bad state. But let me tell you, one of the enormous areas that consumers need to begin to, I guess, emphasize and more, and that is saving. Because savings is where it's at. And even with your not receiving a tremendous amount from your employment and having huge expenses, if you begin by allocating a percentage of your income towards saving, you will find that that will benefit you over the long run. Too many times people expect savings to just appear, but it has been in studies that has shown that if you learn, and I'm a living example, if you learn to save young, you kind of will do okay, because you'll have something to tap into when times get hard like they are now. What do we mean by savings? You know, a good piggy bank, everybody that knows me know I'm a big fan of piggy banks. Allocating a percentage of your dollar towards savings. My father's rule was that you had to save a quarter out of every dollar that he gave you. Very valuable rule. You note that the supreme and education that people have today versus the old people who may didn't have all of this education, but yet one of the things they believed in was saving and having life insurance. So those are two key areas of financial planning that will benefit you in the long run.
You know, Derek, it doesn't really take formal education to implement these types of programs that you're talking about.
It's just discipline.
It's simple,
but
right.
It's discipline. And right. See, that's one of the problems that a lot of us don't have, is that discipline. For example, saving $20 out of every paycheck, and you do that over 5 years, over 10 years, you'll find that you'll have thousands of dollars if you begin to save like that, and that's even in this low interest rate environment. Now, Just to add on a little bit, though, to show you the kind of economy we're in, we have these low interest rates, lowest in almost ever. So when you have low interest rates, of course, you're going to have low yields on your savings, certificates of deposit, savings accounts, etc. You look, many savings accounts now are yielding 0.99. They're not even paying you 1% on your money. So, but yet they have all of these fees that they want to charge you. So this is a very profitable time for these credit cards and other entities. And they say that, listen to this, Charles, in the Wall Street Journal on day before yesterday had a great article. Credit cards and banks say that they're going to make their money back that they've lost off of mortgages from credit cards and various depositor fees. So you can expect a lot of these fees to increase and them to become sneakier. So listeners, watch out. Be very careful as you are doing business with these financial institutions. And it's important to know that how to get these fees waived and make your complaints and so forth. So you're listening to The Consumer's Eye. We're going to come back after the break. I'm going to talk more about consumer protection with a representative from the Illinois Attorney General's office. So stay tuned. We'll be back after the break. Do you have problems understanding utility bills? Are you fed up with skyrocketing gas bills and poor service from your companies? The Citizens Utility Board, CUB, is a nonprofit utility watchdog organization that has saved Illinois consumers over $5 billion. To find out how CUB can help you, call 1-800-669-5556. That's 800-669-5556.
Dawson Technical Institute of Kennedy King College can help you prepare for an exciting career in the high-paying field of construction. In just 16 weeks, you can learn the skills necessary to work in bricklaying, concrete masonry, construction carpentry, combination welding, plumbing, fire protection, home remodeling, and more. You can also earn an AAS degree in construction management, overhead electric line welding, and construction painting. Call Dawson Technical Institute right now at 773-451-2100 or 773-451-2020. That's 773-451-2100 or 773-451-2020. Make the call and get qualified for a high-paying job in the construction industry. Dawson Technical Institute, 773-451-2100 or 773-451-2020. Classes start June 4th.
Some previous inductees to the National Radio Hall of Fame.
The Jack Benny Program.
This is Alan Freed.
You can hang a star on that, baby.
And now it's time to choose who the 2008 National Radio Hall of Fame inductees will be. And this year, you decide. Go to www.radiohof.org to cast your vote. Voting is going on now until July 15th, so go to radiohof.org and register to make your choice known. It's free. Vote now. radiohof.org.
Moving soon? Other companies too expensive? Before you move, contact Earl. Bailey, that is. No job too big or too small for Earl. Have truck, we'll travel. And leave the driving to Earl. Earl Bailey. Excellent service. No hidden charges. No mileage fees. No additional insurance fees. And Earl provides a driver for you. You may get in contact with Earl at 773-350-5540. That's 773-350-5540. Have a truck? We'll travel. Let Earl Bailey move you.
You are a good parent, which means by the time your child is four, you have attained PhD-level mastery of the fine art of worrying. But there is a way, at least in the car, to put worry on hold. Until your kids are 4'9", use a booster seat. It helps the safety belt fit correctly. It decreases their risk of injury by 59%, and it's easy. So after the toddler seat, boost your kids, and don't let them down.
Go to boosterseat.gov to learn more about the importance of boosters. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ron Majors from ABC 7, Chicago's number one news station. And you're listening to the number one college radio station in Chicago, 89.3 WKKC.
You're listening to the all-new Consumer's Eye. If you have any questions concerning today's topic, feel free to call us at 773-488-9552. 488-9552. And now, back to Derek McNeil and Charles Young with the all-new Consumer's Eye, right here on WKKC 89.3 FM.
And we're back with the all-new Consumer's Eye. I'm Derek McNeil.
And I'm Charles Young.
This morning in this segment, we're going to be talking with a representative from the Illinois Attorney General's Office, the Consumer Fraud Division. So that's kind of what our focus is, and we've been talking earlier about credit unions and the high school financial planning program and so forth. Let me tell you what a great honor it is to be able to share this information with our community and our listeners, because this has always been my goal. You know, I didn't want to represent the government. I've been offered many very good positions with the government and big banks and so forth. I want to empower the little guy, the consumer, to have the ability to fight back the big banks, the large hospitals, the city of Chicago, the federal government, because these are the entities, instead of them generally being able to help you, they're doing more harm than helping you. So we want to give you some protections and avail to you some of your rights. So we have Attorney Wendell Hayes. Good morning, Mr. Hayes.
Good morning, Mr. McNeil. Pleasure to speak with you this morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning. If you would, please, I know you're in the Consumer Fraud Division. Tell us your exact title therein.
I'm an Assistant Attorney General. And I'm in our Consumer Fraud Bureau, and that's under the auspices of Attorney General Lisa Madigan. So I'm one of her attorney staff members.
Okay, very good. I'd like for you to begin by telling us about the Consumer Fraud Bureau, and what exactly do you do, and how does a consumer obtain your services?
Certainly. It's very easy for consumers to obtain our services. But let me give you an overview. You touched on something seconds ago when you talked about protecting the little guy. That's essentially what the Attorney General's office does, but from a broader perspective, representing the people en masse as a whole. Unfortunately, we don't represent private personal matters, individual matters. We represent a totality of them. One of the things that I particularly do in the division that I'm in, and we have a team of division members in our Consumer Fraud Bureau, both here in Chicago, Springfield, and in Southern Illinois. We are that group of attorneys under Lisa Madigan that look for the consumer issues that affect an individual person's pocketbook, for lack of a better phrase. For example, everyone's talking about gasoline prices right now. Our office has looked into those kind of matters, and we definitely look in to see if there is some price gouging. We make those kinds of investigations to help the consumer when the consumer doesn't rightfully know what to do or have the wherewithal to do. There's a number of other issues that we look at. Healthcare issues, home repair issues, asphalt issues.
Okay.
Everything out there that is in the stream of commerce, if you will, we touch it in some way or another.
Well, let's focus briefly on that gasoline, and because if you just look around you, I was just reading the Wall Street Journal, and it talked about gasoline nationally being $3.79 a gallon, and in Chicago, gasoline is about $4.19 or so. You drive around these different gas stations or thereabouts. How is that? How is gasoline prices so high? And how does a consumer determine if they're being gouged and when to initiate such complaint?
Now, I can't answer the why the gasoline prices are so high question. That's for a number of other scientists and things like that and businessmen. But you and I know, and all of us consumers know, it's supply and demand driven. However, in certain circumstances, when a consumer recognizes that a price has gone up so high from one gas station, say around the corner, to another one just three or four blocks away, and say there's a 20 cents increase, one could safely argue that there's some disparity there. What we would have a consumer do is give our office a call. We have various 800 numbers and hotlines. And if a consumer called us and gave us that level of suspicion, because what a consumer is really doing is saying, I think X, Y, and Z is going on. What should I do? That's the kind of information we need to start with. And then we have authority to send out maybe even investigators to look at that station.
Okay.
So there's a number of things we can do. Also, the city of Chicago has similar avenue at its favor as well. Remembering that we can't always pinpoint why a particular station does one thing versus another. We can't do it as quickly as consumers might want. We have to investigate them in a timely manner, and we have to recognize that each individual person has a due process right that we must follow.
Yes, good
so
point.
So with the gasoline prices that are here, I would state that, recommend any consumer who thinks their gasoline station is gouging them, give our 800 number a call, and that way we can see what's going on.
Okay, and we'll get that 800 number from you in a moment. I know that you guys do a top 10 list of fraudulent activities.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to cover that in just a moment, but what I'd like to begin with is talking about loan fraud and loan abuse, because we see so many consumers who have gotten into trouble with regards to their loans, home equity loans, purchase loans, etc. Why don't you tell us about what you guys are doing with regards to these loans and give us a couple of tips that consumers can keep themselves out of trouble?
Now, I'll be frank with you, the loan division, the person who handles the loan section of our office is not here. I'm not that person.
Okay.
However, I can't give the general consumer an overview. What we have done, particularly when it comes to mortgage fraud issues, we've looked at where the mortgage potential problems start. Was it with the consumer? Was it with the mortgage company? What pressure was the mortgage company putting on the various consumers? Were the mortgage companies themselves in cahoots or in compliance with one another to defraud, etc.? One of the things we look at, for example, is a location of homes in, say, a small geographic area, and we find that those individual persons' homes are being essentially taken from them by a fraudulent mortgage representative. And what these mortgage companies do, these disreputable mortgage companies, they will literally come into a person's home. They'll literally walk off the street, come into a person's home. They already know that the person's finances are distressed because of certain information they can glean from the public records. So once an individual perpetrator figures out that a particular home is distressed, they will literally approach the consumer either by mail, by publication, by internet, or by walking down the street, or by talking to friends and acquaintances in the neighborhood. They'll approach them and state that things like, if you're willing to sign your house over to me, I'm willing to give you the money to stop the foreclosure on your home. Many consumers, unfortunately, have suffered that in the past several years. And what happens is once they sign those documents over to that person has their home and they're running with their home and the money's gone. They don't pay the old taxes, they don't pay the mortgage, they don't apply for the mortgage protection as they believe they were, the consumer believed he or she was getting. What we recommend, or what we recommend consumers do is contact their mortgage company first and try to work something out with them. Some of these fly-by-night companies look good on paper. We would recommend that any consumer who's running up against this problem contact their own mortgage lender, and if you have a question about a potential company attempting to bail you out, if you contact us so we can check the company out. We are here to help consumers check information about a particular entity before they actually do business with that entity.
Now, that's a great point, because if I could get paid for the deals that I have killed that have kept consumers out of trouble, I would be an extremely rich man, because what happens is if you talk to me prior to your deal, and this is to any lawyer, accountant, regulator, etc., prior to getting into a deal, you need to check out the company that you're doing business with. And that leads me to talk to you about contractor abuses.
Yes.
Now, almost every homeowner that I've talked to that is in trouble has gotten into trouble because of some type of contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And these contractors are now giving out their flyers, and you're getting mail, and they're telemarketing you about doing your new roof, doing your bathroom and kitchens, etc. Tell us about, give us some tips about contractor abuses and what consumers could look out for if they need to use the services of a contractor.
Not a problem at all. That is absolutely within my personal bailiwick within the office. We have a separate section that is called our home repair fraud section, and that's under our general consumer fraud umbrella. And me and about six other lawyers work, we divide our time and focus it on consumer issues like this one. I have about 40% of my cases, 50% of my cases are consumer home repair cases. So let me give you a few particulars.
Okay.
This is the perfect season where consumers are ripped off, for lack of a better phrase. Our office would recommend that no consumer do business with any potential home contractor without checking them out first. And if that means certain things are delayed and certain work can't be done, we'd recommend you wait, because once they take your money, generally they're gone. Now, let me expand it a little bit. Not only do the home contractors come in to fleece the various consumers, but we call them the asphalt crooks. They do the same thing. The landscape crooks, they do the same thing. The plumbing repair crooks do the same thing. For example, a person might have a mainline problem in under their house. So they'll call around and talk to a friend or a neighbor about a particular company. But they won't check the company out independently. And therefore, once they spend thousands of dollars and the work's not done, they're stuck. Now, what should a consumer do when they're suspicious of that person or that company? They can contact us via our 800 number, and then it'll take a few, might take a couple of phone calls, but we can verify whether a company is in good standing with the consumer fraud section. Are there any complaints against that company? This is kind of public information that we can disseminate to consumers where they can make an informed decision before spending their money. Also, they have access to the Better Business Bureau. So there's other means where we want consumers to check a company out when they feel suspicious in any way. Mm. So what often occurs, this is a case that I know is going to come up real soon because it's springtime. I call them the asphalt fly-by-night guy. They'll come to a consumer's home and say, look, I want to put down a new driveway for you, and I can drop the asphalt right away. But I'm going to need for you to give me a check right now, and maybe just give me $500 deposit, and I'll be right back. I'd have my truck around the corner. That person will literally go to the currency exchange, cash that check, run, and gone with that money, and you'll never see the asphalt. That's an example.
That's incredible. Now, so that's another area that we need to focus on, because in private practice, many contractors, of course, has ripped off the consumer. And we look to sue these contractors, and either they're out of business, either they're bankrupt, or either they don't have any assets for us to lien. So it also becomes the case where it becomes difficult to recover any financial reward to compensate the consumer for their loss.
Yes. Yes. So, you'd like me to respond to that?
Yes, I would.
Yes, I can. I must be very honest with you, because we're not here to short trip the consumer. Most often than not, if the company's out of business, you're not going to get any money back. There are occasions where you can get some money back if the company's still in business, or if the person who had the company or who was running the company has some personal assets that we can get to. It takes time to even discover whether or not we have the jurisdiction to go after the individual person's finances and get a lien on their personal property. We're not saying it doesn't occur, but it takes time to get to that point. Because more often than not, consumers have dealt with a disreputable company who, if they were in a position to check them out ahead of time, they probably wouldn't have done business with them in the first place. So let's assume they didn't have that opportunity to check them out. Now they're kind of stuck between the proverbial rock and hard place. We would take in their information in our office. We would go after the company to the best of our ability. We would try to find assets and try to make some sort of recovery for the consumer. And remember, this is not an individual consumer we're looking at. We're looking at a number of people at every juncture.
Good
for
points.
Example,
let me interrupt you for one moment, sure. Attorney Hayes. You're listening to WKKC 89.3 FM. This is the Consumer's Eye. We're speaking with Assistant Illinois Attorney General Wendell Hayes with the Consumer Fraud Bureau. We're talking about consumer protections and what you need to know. In this segment, we're talking about contractors and contractor ripoffs and et cetera. Go ahead, Attorney Hayes.
Now, one of the things that we would recommend a consumer do before they engage business with any contractor is to give our office a call and see if there's any complaints against that company. Also, they can do an additional search with the Better Business Bureau. Also, you can check out certain companies through the various websites like the Illinois Secretary of State's website, because some companies have corporate entities and corporate names. You can check to see if that corporation actually exists.
Good
point. So there's
a
number of things you can do, cost some due diligence before spending any money. Now, let's assume they spent the money. They want to do business with a particular contractor, and let's say the contractor is relatively reputable. Each contractor who's exercising home repair must also follow the home repair law under the Consumer Fraud Act. There's a series of documents that a consumer must get from a contractor before he or she absolutely starts the work. And those are under the auspices of the Consumer Fraud Act, and particularly the home repair and home remodeling.
Yes.
For example, if a contractor is doing business and does not have the statutory insurance to cover certain potential loss, then that contractor is clearly in violation of the act. Another example, if the contractor has failed to provide a consumer with the 3-day right to cancel, then that contractor is in violation. And many consumers have given their deposit money over but never received the evidence showing that there was a 3-day right to cancel given either in the contract or on a separate document. Those items that I just mentioned are very specific, and they are like a checklist. That information for a consumer to read it is literally on the Attorney General's website, which is IllinoisAttorneyGeneral.gov. A consumer can scroll down and find all the general information.
Yes, at this point, why don't we ask you to provide the 800 number and also the website, if you would repeat both twice, please.
Okay. Our website is IllinoisAttorneyGeneral.gov, and that's all one word, IllinoisAttorneyGeneral.gov, and our 800 number is 1-800-386-5438, and I better double check that since my computer popping in and out. I'm literally looking on my own website as well.
That's the problem nowadays. You people got too much electronic stuff.
So 1-800-836-5438. That's our consumer fraud
okay.
hotline.
Okay, give that number one more time, a little slower.
No problem. 1-800-386-5438.
Okay.
All right. Now, what happens is we want consumers to look at all of the things that touch them financially on a day-to-day basis. We touched on a couple things already. The home repair, the contractor, the asphalting, the landscaping, the gasoline, the mortgage. There's a number of issues that are equally as important.
Yeah, you know, one other that I'd like to touch on, because we get a lot of calls about this, and I've gotten a couple of letters, about automobile sales and financing.
Yes.
Is that also an area that you guys deal
Definitely.
With? Okay.
We have a team of lawyers who focus 50% of their area on just the auto side. When there's a question about automobile financing, what you would want a consumer to do is before they sign off on any document, give us a call, because some of the auto sales companies have questionable business practices. We would want a consumer to know that before signing off on anything. What we're hoping that consumers do is do their due diligence so they're fully for entering a deal with a car. Because unlike in other states, in the state of Illinois, you can't automatically take a car back if you decide that you don't want it. And that's what a lot of consumers run across in this state. They figure, I just bought the car, I'm going to drive it off the lot, and buyer's remorse, I want to take it back. Well, once they signed all the documents, they can't automatically just drop the car off and leave it. And believe me, that has happened before where consumers have done that. And the sales company, the auto sales company, have left them stuck with the car. And later on down the road, the consumer's assets are challenged in some way.
Interesting. So now we do have a kind of a tricky lemon law in how it is applied to which vehicles and so forth and so on, is your point, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good.
We have an interesting lemon law in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, I would agree.
In other states, there's a lemon law even for certain kinds of used cars. That's not the case here. Lemon laws here are specifically designed for new cars, generally.
Correct.
And there's a certain procedure that the consumer must follow to enact the lemon law. And if they fail at one level of that procedure, they're out.
Yes, great points. Assistant Attorney General Wendell Hayes, if you would please provide that 800 number one final time.
1-800-386-5438. And that's our Chicago 800 number.
Yes, let me thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule. And I hope you're feeling better. We look forward to having you in the studio real soon.
It'll be my pleasure. Unfortunately, just couldn't do it today.
Yes, sir.
Attorney Mr. McNeil, I really appreciate it, and thank you very much. I hope the consumers get some information that can be helpful, and give our 800 number a call so we can help you.
Thank you.
We're all here to help.
Thank you. Pleasure working with you.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to the all-new Consumer's Eye. We speak every week about these and other topics that affect the consumer, people who have problems with automobiles, with currency exchanges, with banks. And on our next show, we're going to be talking about if you have a problem with a lawyer, how to sue your lawyer, how to make a complaint against your lawyer, how to ascertain if your lawyer has malpractice insurance, etc. So that's going to be an exciting show. We're going to have some great guests with regards to that. And today we've shared some wonderful information about the high school financial planning program, about the credit unions and how to get information about the credit unions, and also just about the Consumer Fraud Bureau of the Illinois Attorney General's Office, and just some of the major areas of complaints with regards to the loan abuse and the contractor abuse and the automobiles section. Our guy here, Mr. Hayes, was extremely sharp about contractors. You can kind of listen to someone and tell. I tell my students that when I teach. You can kind of tell that I know finance, okay, because that's something I get excited about. I know all of the details, and he seems to be very, very proficient with regards to contractor abuses. So as you know, Charles, we do a show about that every year, so we'll follow up as we get closer to the summer and then the fall season with regards to contractors.
And actually, Derek, this is very timely to get our listening audience attuned to contractors so they can look out for some of those issues. Because, as you know, people go from door to door with the flyers, you know, knocking on the doors and sign this, sign that. And as he indicated about the asphalt tricks, you know, give me a deposit and they never show up again.
That's interesting. You know, Charles, I think that I would like to do a show in the near future, just, I don't know the title of it, but something to prevent consumers from getting into these types of transactions. See, because I share with people all the time, you as a consumer are engaged on a daily basis in intricate legal transactions that you may think that you understand, but you, in fact, really do not understand. In fact, many lawyers and judges don't even understand. Every day when you sign a contract, every day when you rent a hotel room, when you buy an airline ticket, all of these are legal transactions. When you take out a student loan, when you go and register for college, you're taking out a legal transaction. When you perform a credit report on yourself. You're performing a legal transaction, and you should be familiar with some of the fundamentals of the law that most consumers and most of us just are not familiar with. And too many times, the opposite side, the bank, the currency exchange, the automobile dealer, the contractor, they know that kind of stuff.
And you know, Derek, the unfortunate thing is all these documents that we should be focus on that we get in the mail with credit cards that we get from the banks. It's in such fine print that the average person just tosses it aside, and those things are the more critical aspects of that transaction.
Good point. Very good point. On that note, we'd like to thank the WKKC station management. I'd like to thank our engineer, Mr. Keith Reed, for a great job today. Most importantly, we'd like to thank you for listening to the all-new Consumer's Eye. Good morning.
Good morning.